students I think are seated there. But if they would all stand, please. Good. Thank you for coming. You may be seated. We welcome you here with, as you know, the Court with Class program that is run by the State Bar and the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. This has been a national award-winning program. High school students from all over the state are invited to come to an oral argument. They are presented with materials about the case, and there is a synopsis of this case on that back small table at the foot of the stairs for anyone else who would like to see that synopsis. And in addition to learning about the case and traveling to Madison, the students will meet with Justice Prosser, and you will meet at 11:30 back in this courtroom, and you will be joined by students from another high school. So now that we have met you and talked about Court with Class, I'd like to introduce the court to all of you. Starting on my far right is Justice David Prosser, the justice with whom you will meet. And to his left is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. To my immediate right is Justice William Babbage. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. To my immediate left is Justice John Wilcox. And to his left, Justice Patrick Crooks. And on the far left, Justice Diane Sykes. So with the introductions made, I will now call the first case, 99-2118 CQ. Certified question from the Federal Court of Appeals, Muhlenberg versus Kilgust Mechanical. Ms. Tyndall represents Kilgust Mechanical.
Right. There's one issue before the court this morning, and that's an issue of insurance coverage, which involves a question of public policy, which is somewhat unusual. Most are simple, straightforward contract questions, but public policy isn't invoked. In this particular case, however, public policy is invoked because we're dealing with the scope of Wisconsin Statute Section 19441. This covers the regulation of trucking and what type of insurance is required for truckers operated in Wisconsin. The question before the court today is, does an insurer of a trucker that's operating in Wisconsin need to cover loading and unloading of that truck, even if the loading and unloading operation is performed by one other than the trucker himself or herself? And for the benefit of the guests here today, I'll just briefly review the facts. Here, the trucker drove the truck to Kilgust plant, and Kilgust was unloading it. Muhlenberg, the plaintiff, was the driver of the truck, and he was injured during the unloading process when the load shifted and hit him. So
he was helping the loading?
He was helping unload. And Kilgust was unloading. The policy in this case, Great West policy, was issued to Wiley, who owned the truck, and Muhlenberg was operating the truck under Wiley's contract. In this particular case, then, Muhlenberg sued Kilgust for his injuries, saying that their negligence in the unloading process injured him. And Kilgust, in turn, has turned to Great West, Wiley's insurance company, and demanded that it provide coverage here. And Great West admits that its policy is primary if, for example, Kilgust's employee was driving the semi-trailer truck down to the corner store, Great West would have covered this and would be primary.
Now, let me just ask you, I know you're trying to come on the facts, but if they're primary, which they are saying they are, then why would Frankenmuth is the one that was covering the loading and unloading? In other words, Great West had an exclusion that said we're not covering that. So my question is basically, and we're looking at the interaction of the omnibus 63232 and 19441, Tell me, and I'm looking at the language, what exact language do you rely on that incorporates the omnibus statute? Now, you're saying this is one question. Public policy, is that your answer?
Yes. And are you asking me what language in the statute?
How do you interpret that statute, 194.41, to say that that incorporates 632.32, which is the omnibus? That's how you get to your public policy.
There's two ways to get there. I think that 194.41 by itself requires coverage for the operation of the vehicle. 194.02 says you have to give that a liberal construction and for a safe and competitive trucking industry. And when you use those two concepts in combination and apply the Weidenhoff case, then I think that 194.41 directly requires, through the liberal construction of the term operation, coverage for the loading and unloading, which is different from your question. Your question is, if that doesn't work, why should the omnibus statute apply? Well, this 194.41 states that the policy that has to be covering a trucker operating in this state must be in a form approved by the department by an insurer authorized to do business in this state and must cover negligent injuries caused by negligent operation of the vehicle. In Amory, this court said that the operation of this statute required the omnibus statute to apply in these cases, but it didn't state where it got that. There was no extended discussion. It just said that statute requires the operation of the omnibus statute. And in the Krosky case, too, the court's discussion seemed to clearly rely on the Amory analysis and conclude that the omnibus statute applied, but again, there was no explanation for why it should apply. And there is nothing in 194.41 that specifically states the omnibus statute has to apply here. But if you apply 194.02 and its requirement that we give 194.41 a liberal construction to achieve the aims of a safe and competitive trucking industry, then I think you have to allow the omnibus statute to apply.
Well, 194.411 says that you have to file a certificate for a policy of insurance in such form and contain such terms as conditions as approved by the department, issued by an insurer authorized to do auto liability insurance business in this state. Right?
Right.
So when I read that, I thought you'd argue that policy in this state would have to be the same as any policy covering a company in this state.
Well, my analysis is, when I initially read that, I thought that it said it had to be in the same form as would be issued by an insurer doing business in the state. But on further reflection, I decided that it didn't precisely say that.
What do you think it says?
I think it says it has to be in a form approved by the department and issued by an insurer authorized to do business in this state. But my feeling is that implies that the coverage provided has to be the same. It doesn't directly state that it has to be exactly the same coverage as would be issued by an insurer to an insured in the state, but it implies that it should be the same coverage. It makes no sense to have Wisconsin insureds be required to purchase more expensive insurance, which complies with the omnibus statute and is subject to all these terms and conditions, and then to let somebody come in from North Dakota or Florida or someone else who has less expensive insurance that doesn't comply with all the terms of our omnibus statute and allow them to operate in our state. That goes against what 194.02 says. It says that it wants a liberal construction of 194.41 to achieve the aims of a safe and competitive trucking industry. I'm assuming that the competitive trucking industry that the legislature desires would be for our Wisconsin truckers to be competitive. If we're making them purchase insurance that complies with the omnibus statute, and there's no question that 632.32 applies to all policies issued in the state, including those applying to semi-trailer trucks. It specifically includes semi-trailers in the definition of motor vehicle. And I believe the Lukashevich case also says that 632.32 applies to these truckers' policies. So therefore, a Wisconsin trucker who wants to insure his operation or her operation has to comply with the omnibus statute and has to cover loading and unloading operations such as at issue here. Theoretically, that insurance would be more expensive than a policy issued in Florida, North Dakota, or somewhere else where the insurance company is not required to comply with those conditions that 632.32 lays down. And I would assume then that that would make our truckers less competitive than the truckers from out of state. And that certainly can't be what the legislature intended here.
Let me ask you, okay, we're talking about the legislature, and I looked at the legislation. There's not a lot. I'm talking about 150. There's not a lot, and that's what your opposing counsel indicates, that he indicates that, for example, the Krosky case that covered loading and unloading would be changed after 1981, when basically the legislature passed the what I would call the trucking regulation legislation. My question is this, is that even the Court of Appeals, and this is a certification from the 7th District, says, look, this is a contract signed in Nebraska, given to someone in North Dakota, and clearly when you look at 632.32, that does not apply. In other words, they say that on its face, the omnibus statute would not apply to a contract signed. It talks about a contract signed or delivered in the state of Wisconsin. That's what 632.32 talks about.
632.32 doesn't apply directly. That's clear.
It does not. Okay.
No, and we made that clear in our brief.
So what I'm saying, that's correct. So going back to my original question, you're saying that the language is basically 194.02, which talks about the liberal construction. And then but in reality, the risks which are being covered here, your counsel, your client, rather, paid for that. Frankenmuth paid to cover unloading. So always, if under your theory we would adopt, always the primary insurer would be someone like Great Western, who, even though it was excluded, they would always be paying for it.
Right, and that's the same thing that holds true with any permissive user of the vehicle. Great West, because it says that the omnibus statute doesn't apply, Great West says that it could put in its policy a provision that says no 25-year-old, nobody under the age of 25 can operate this truck. And if that was the case, which the omnibus statute in our state prohibits such a provision in a policy, but Great West says only 194.41 governs the operation of trucks here. And so under its scenario, you could exclude somebody who's intoxicated or under the age of 25 from coverage if they're operating a semi-trailer truck. And I don't think that would be the appropriate analysis here. I think that 194.02, with its requirement of a liberal construction, would require that the omnibus statute be deemed to apply by operation of law. And you've done that in other cases. For example, where in a lot of policies, especially where they're signed as proof of financial responsibility from another state, those policies have a proof of financial responsibility provision that says that if the driver's operating in another state, the insurance will comply with all of the terms of the state where the driver's operating. And that's similar to the endorsement that the trucker issues here, or that the insurer issues here. They say that they're going to cover the truck in all these states that they've signed off on, and here it's 29 different states. And so Great West, when it's issuing its policy, understands that it's going to comply with the local law of all those 29 different states in order to allow its insured to operate here. And it's getting a premium for that, even if it says in its policy it's not covering this specific nugget of liability. It understands that by agreeing to cover a trucker who's operating in more than one state, it's going to be subject to all the laws of all those different states in order for that trucker to operate in those different states. And that only makes sense. It only makes sense to require out-of-state truckers to comply with the same requirements, especially the safety requirements, that our in-state truckers would have to comply to. Otherwise, that would put our public at risk and would put our truckers at a competitive disadvantage. So it seems to me clear that when the legislature changed 194.02 and required a liberal construction of these statutes, that the legislature was implying that it wanted to extend this type of coverage, especially with the Weidenhoff case saying that liberal construction of the term operation of a vehicle does require coverage for loading and unloading. Now, one of the things that's also very important here is when the legislature changed 194.02 back in 1981, it did delete any reference to use of the vehicle upon the highway. And previously, it covered, it stated that it, 194.02 stated that the legislative intent was to regulate the big rigs in their use of the highway, and also it expressed a concern for the traveling and shipping public safety in their use of the highways. Now, the legislature has completely deleted the phrase use of the highways from that section. And this clearly is an indication that the legislature is concerned with safety of the trucking industry's operations as a whole and not simply related to the trucking industry's use of the vehicles on the highway. And I think that's a very important change in this legislation, and that's what mandates the change here. In terms of the question, would it be unfair to require an insurance company to cover the risk of a permissive user for whom it's not paid a premium, I would think that it's not unfair because they're covering all other permissive users. And they're not paid a specific premium. They're not allowed to underwrite a they don't underwrite the specific drivers. If someone borrows your car, the insurance company has not underwritten that person and looked at their driving record when they borrow your car. Same thing holds true with a semi. The semi-trailer trucks are covered no matter who is operating them. The insurance follows the car, and whoever is operating the vehicle is usually covered under the vehicle policy, and that policy is usually primary. And that's what the insurer gets a premium for. Kilgust also paid a premium for its use of its own vehicles or its employees' use of other people's vehicles. Both insurers, in my opinion, have gotten a premium for this risk.
Counsel, you say the parties have conceded that Great West is primary. Let me pose a hypothetical. That is that there was no other coverage available. Is there any way that we, other than Great West, is there any way that we can rule that, look, it's not primary, but it's secondary, and where there's no other insurance coverage available, then the omnibus statute is incorporated in 194.41?
I don't think so. I mean, the typical rule is insurance follows the car. So if I borrowed your car and I got in a wreck, your insurance covers it, even though I have my own insurance. That's just the way that the policies typically operate. They all have other insurance clauses in their policies, and in that way, they contract for who's going to be primary and who's going to be excess in certain situations. And virtually all situations, the insurance follows the car, and the owner of the car's insurance is always primary. And then the permissive user's insurance is always excess. That's just the way it always works, and I think that it would be appropriate for it to work in the unloading situation in the same manner as well. That keeps the law consistent, and it keeps the insurance consistent so that everyone can have a consistent expectation of what would happen.
Well, in straight insurance, suppose I was driving my car, it got stalled, I was on the side of the road, and I'm now going to transfer to another vehicle, and I'm unloading the trunk. Something shifts and falls and hits somebody who's helping me. Is my auto insurance policy liable?
Are you unloading your car?
Somebody is unloading my car and I'm helping them exactly as here.
And they injure you unloading your car? Yes,
they're injured.
They're using your car, and they would be covered under your policy to pay for your injuries because the insurance follows the car, and your insurance would be primary. even if they have their own insurance.
So why don't we follow that rule here?
That's what I'm suggesting. And
now, suppose that the one who is helping me has been negligently, and it's somebody from a garage, and he's been negligently trained, and therefore I get injured while he's helping me unload the car.
Well, that goes to a different issue about where is training. And we have held in this state, or you have held, excuse me, that falls within the use of a vehicle. And if that would be the Bankert versus Fishman's Mutual case, and also the Smith versus State Farm, I believe it's a case about snowmobiles where the man was alleged to have been negligent in his maintenance of the snowmobile and his supervision of his minor passengers and in a number of respects. And the court concluded that all those things came within the compass of the use of the snowmobile such that it wasn't included under the man's homeowner's policy. And I think the same holds true in this type of situation where there's an allegation of negligent training with respect to loading and unloading or other aspects of use of a vehicle. That falls back within the coverage of the vehicle policy, not the premises policy. That's where the argument usually comes in. Is it?
You're saying that if Kilgus negligently trained its employees in unloading vehicles, who's liable? I mean, Kilgus would be liable.
But Great West, again, would come first because it's primary with respect to the use of the vehicle. And so although there's negligence in training that impacts on the loading and unloading process, the gist of the occurrence is the actual unloading and unloading that is negligent that causes the harm, and so it falls under the compass of the auto policy, and it's not within the scope of the premises liability policy.
And so your argument has been that, look, that motor carriers that operate in this state just expect, whether they're from out of state, in state, expect be covered under the omnibus coverage. And the Chief Justice's question goes to that, is it, we're talking public policy, is that fair when the negligent training takes place with, say, your client, and then, of course, some other coverage is forced to be primary, or is primary?
Well, and I think it is fair because the expectation is that you're insuring that auto. And it holds true on a personal level, too. If I negligently supervise my children and then allow them to use your car with your permission, I can be sued for my negligence in supervising my child and entrusting the car to my child, and I'm covered under your auto policy first because insurance follows the vehicle, and that vehicle is primary with, or that vehicle's insurance is primary with regard to the use of the vehicle. That's just the way that the insurance industry has set it up so that when these issues come up and we need to decide who's going to be primary and who's going to be excess, this is the way that the insurance companies have set it up so that they can decide those issues among themselves, usually without the intervention of the courts. In this particular case, because there's a question of the coverage extended, that's where the problem comes in, and not within the who's primary and who's excess. But, you know, the insurance companies frequently underwrite these risks. They understand that when they're issuing these policies, they're going to be covering the permissive users and the people who are liable for the permissive users first, and that those people's own insurance will come second. But then when your kid is using my car, my insurance comes first. And that's just the trade-off the insurance companies have made. That's the standard that they use, and all those policies have that same kind of language.
Well, Great West's position is they didn't cover this risk. They didn't collect a premium for this risk. They had excluded this risk. So that's why I'm saying that the public policy that you are advocating would be that regardless, because of the 63232 and the interplay between 19402, that it would be a good public policy to have it covered regardless of who pays for it.
That's correct. And the Amory case said 30 years ago that the omnibus statute applies in this circumstance. Yep. So if Great West didn't collect a premium...
I want to get to that omnibus statute, because I guess I just don't have the fundamental understanding I need. You're saying that the omnibus statute applies.
By operation of law.
But you haven't told me why it applies. Why do you win if the omnibus statute applies? What is the language that you... I take it you're referring to sub 3 of 632.
If you're going to cover loading and unloading, you have to cover it for everybody according to the omnibus statute, because the insurance has to apply in the same manner to anybody using the vehicle with permission as it would to the named insured.
Are you said that too fast.
Subsection 3 says that the coverage has to apply to the named to a permissive user the same as it would apply to the named insured. So if you're going to extend coverage for them, loading the named insured is extended coverage for loading and unloading. So if you extend coverage to them, then anybody else who's loading and unloading with permission is required to have the same coverage that the named insured would have. And so 632.32 requires that coverage be extended to Kilgus here.
Only if the policy is issued or delivered in Wisconsin, then.
632.32 applies directly only to policies issued or delivered in Wisconsin. My argument is that 194.41 and 194.02, when construed liberally, require insurers who insure truckers operating in this state to have the same broad coverage that an insurer that a trucker whose policy was issued in this state would have.
And that's your argument by implication, because it doesn't expressly say that.
It doesn't expressly say that, but I think that 194.41 by its terms implies that somebody who's coming in from Nebraska or Florida should have the same coverage that a Wisconsin trucker should have in order to have a safe and competitive Wisconsin trucking industry.
Why didn't the legislature just say that then? What they meant.
I think when they first drafted 194.41, it was many years ago, they didn't change that when they changed the remainder of the statutes, and I'm not sure precisely why they didn't directly say that, but I think that the implication is clear from the language of 194.41 and its direction in 194.02 that a liberal construction be given.
I still don't understand. Maybe I'm just having a bad hair day or something.
Oh, I am, but...
Why is it? Are you depending upon the language of the policy or the language of 632.32 sub 3? Why is it if we say, if I'm writing this decision and I write, the omnibus provision applies, therefore, Kilgus wins because... Now, why?
Because the coverage extended to... Wiley, the named insured, covered loading and unloading, and so therefore it has to extend to anybody using that vehicle with permission. And if I was writing the decision, I'd say 194.41 on its own requires coverage, because negligent operation is required to be covered. 194.02 requires a liberal construction of that negligent operation term in order to achieve a safe and competitive trucking industry. When you look at the Weidenhub case, it says that when you're giving the term operation a liberal construction, that means loading and unloading is required to be covered. So I would say that you can go right there and boom, issue your decision. But I also think that one would say that 194.41 also requires the application of the omnibus statute, because of its implication that Wisconsin truckers and out-of-state truckers should have the same coverage. And my time is up, and I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tindall. Mr. Mullaney, representing Great West Casualty Company. I assume you don't think Great West Casualty Company should be liable here.
Pardon?
I said I'm assuming you don't think Great West Casualty Company should be liable.
That's correct.
Okay.
Your Honor. This is not moving down, so I'm going to have to deal with that. I think you can all see me anyway. Good morning, Justice Abramson and members of the court. I represent Great West. Our position is relatively simple in this case, and that is that we issued a policy to our insured, and it specifically excludes coverage for persons like Mr. Wurchnick, third parties, while they unload vehicles. The question for this court is, why is that contractual exclusion invalid? The Kilgist has proposed several reasons why it should be invalid, and I think that they can be summed up today in Ms. Tindall's remarks at the outset when she said it really is a public policy question. My response to that is that public policy is made by the legislature, and I'm not in a position to comment on whether it's wise or not wise that the omnibus statute does not apply to this policy. That's not my concern. What our position is that there are no grounds to invalidate this exclusion because, number one, the omnibus statute doesn't apply to the policy because the policy was issued and delivered outside the state of Wisconsin. Number two, the motor carrier regulation, financial responsibility law, section 194.41, does not say that it incorporates the omnibus statute. It does not require that motor carriers that do business in this state provide coverage to everybody who unloads vehicles. It could have said those things, and perhaps the legislature would want to amend the statute at some time to say those things, but it doesn't say those things now. And the challenge for this court when it issues a decision is to explain to the readers of whatever you publish why is it that this exclusion is invalid. It's impossible to do it based on the omnibus statute for the reasons I've stated. It's impossible to do it based on the language that's in section 194.41 because it does not incorporate the omnibus statute and does not require coverage for to third parties while they unload. Thirdly, the case law in Wisconsin that Kilgist relies on does not say that the omnibus statute is imported into motor carrier liability policies as a matter of law. They've argued that in their briefs, but none of the cases say that. None of those cases involved a policy issued or delivered outside the state of Wisconsin. Those cases essentially assume, to the extent they discuss the application of the omnibus statute, they simply assume that the omnibus statute applies to motor carrier policies, but they don't explain why.
Counsel, I just want to explore some contours. If this policy, Great Lakes policy, were issued in Wisconsin, would it apply to third parties because of the omnibus statute?
Yes. We do not deny that.
If you didn't specifically have the exclusion in the policy, would there be coverage under your policy? The exclusion being coverage for a third party, would there be coverage under this policy?
If Mr. Wurchnick was not excluded,
yes.
Would there be coverage? Well, he's excluded from the definition of an insured under these circumstances because he's not an employee of the trucking company.
Let me follow up. Assume let me ask directly. It's clear, isn't it, that the truck driver, is it Mullenbeck, is covered under the policy. Is that correct?
Yes, no question of that.
And if 632.32 sub 3A applies, which deals with, if you're going to give it to Mullenbeck, you give it to third parties, that's the provision that would bring coverage into your policy. Is that correct?
Right.
One of the arguments by your opposing counsel seems kind of compelling, and that is the commercial competitiveness. I mean, why, she argues, why should the Wisconsin truck drivers be at a commercial disadvantage having to pay premium for 632-32 coverage and non-Wisconsin truck drivers being able to operate in this state in the same way without the same expense? Would you respond to that argument?
Well, Your Honor, I think that that is, again, a public policy question. I don't know the answer to that without getting into policy considerations. For whatever reason, the legislature chose in the omnibus statute to limit its application to policies issued or delivered in the state of Wisconsin. I assume the legislature had a purpose for inserting that language in the statute. I don't know why. They could have, I suppose, have broadened its scope and applied it to everybody so that there was complete justice and equality for anybody who enters this state or drives in this state. I don't know why they didn't, but that's what it says, and this court, or at least the Court of Appeals, has interpreted the that provision to exclude the application of the omnibus statute in a couple of cases where perhaps the result, the court could have considered the result to be unfair. I've cited those cases in the first part of my brief. The Kennison case is one of them. But that language has been given its plain and ordinary meaning, and it simply doesn't apply. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know. And furthermore, Chapter 194 could have very easily, the legislature could have, if it wanted to have complete equality, put all truckers on the same playing field, so to speak, it could have incorporated the omnibus statute. It could have said, we require that truckers have coverage for everybody that unloads, but it doesn't say that either. On top of that, we've got the Krosky decision that this court issued some time ago saying that loading and unloading is not a requirement for policies issued by trucking companies. That is, trucking companies are not required to cover loading and unloading. So, again, I guess I can't speak to the competitiveness. That's something the legislature would have to consider on its own. And the challenge, again, for this court, if it's going to base a decision on the commercial competitiveness or anti-competitiveness of our position, it still has to explain the legal basis for applying, for invalidating this clause.
Well, what about not looking at the omnibus clause, but just looking at 194.41 and just saying that when you strip it down, that the certificate shall provide that the insurer shall be directly liable for and shall pay all damages for injuries that may be recovered against the owner or operator of any such motor vehicles by reason of the negligent operation thereof. And that the stress would be on the words negligent operation thereof. I mean, that was one of Ms. Tyndall's arguments, and if you're going to construe this liberally, and even if you just construe it by the dictionary, operation of the motor vehicle not only includes moving it down the highway, but includes having it stall on you and having to make arrangements for towing and having made arrangements for unloading the trunk, to put it back into my example. So why can't you just say under 194.41 your client, your insurance company, is liable for anything that comes close to that order, that vehicle?
Because, Your Honor, it begs the question, basically. What this statute requires is what Great West did. It issued a policy that covers motor vehicles claims made by reason, or it covers the negligent operation of the vehicle. We don't deny that. We covered that for Mr. Mullenberg, the operator of the vehicle. Anybody who operates, uses that vehicle is covered for the negligent operation. The question, though, is why can't we exclude certain persons from our definition of an insured when they're unloading? I mean, you still have to deal with the exclusion. This statute doesn't invalidate the exclusion because we did provide coverage for negligent operation.
That's only if you define operation narrowly. You're defining operation to exclude the Kilgust employees who are unloading. And you're saying you're doing that under your exclusion provision, right?
Right.
And why can't somebody say, you can't do that? And ordinarily, you can put in any provisions you want, right? Unless they're contrary to a state statute or more broadly public policy. Well, I'm saying, for the sake of argument, that your exclusion violates 194.41 because you're taking out of the term negligent operation unloading. And for the sake of argument, negligent operation in the statute can include unloading because it's a broad term.
I agree that operation and use includes unloading.
Right.
That's what the law says.
Right.
But I still think that this statute does not require that, or does not preclude an insurance company from excluding certain persons from their definition of insured while they unload. I guess if you think about in the absence of the omnibus statute, let's say the omnibus statute doesn't exist.
I'm just looking at 194.41.
Okay, right. The omnibus statute, if the omnibus statute didn't exist in this state, I think insurers, there would be no reason why insurers couldn't limit the universe of insurers for certain activities. I mean, the purpose of the omnibus statute in Wisconsin is to say, wait a second, insurers, you can't do certain things. You can't limit, you can't just create your policies and do what you want. We have certain policies, public policies, that we have to enforce. Therefore, we're going to limit the way that you write your policies. That's why the omnibus statute exists. And our position is that this case, it is as though the omnibus statute doesn't exist.
Right.
It just doesn't apply. So why can't we do what we did here? There's nothing in 194.41 that precludes it. I mean, we did provide the coverage that 194.41 requires. Yes, we did limit it, but there's no reason we can't. The Kroski decision, I think, goes to that because Kroski says that 194.41 was not designed to require coverage for loading and unloading.
Does it require coverage for other forms of operation of the vehicle by permissive users to the extent that your policy would otherwise exclude?
Does the Kroski decision provide that?
Or 194.41 on its face, exclusive of the construction placed upon it by Kroski?
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Maybe I should separate it out. Is there anything in 194.41 that precludes you from excluding in your policy other forms of operation of the vehicle by permissive users? Because essentially you're saying that, yes, this is a form of operation of the motor vehicle, as that term is used in the statute, but nothing in the statute precludes us from excluding that sort of operation of the vehicle, being loading and unloading, by a permissive user. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So are there other forms of operation of the vehicle? And I think this is a follow-up to the Chief Justice's question. Are there other forms of operation of the vehicle that do not involve moving the car up and down or the truck up and down the highway that you would therefore be permitted to exclude?
Well,
if it's done by a permissive user, because that's the distinction here, right?
Right. I don't know. I think that it's hard to answer in the abstract.
Well, I'll give you an example. You only cover them on the highway, not in the yard, in on the private property of Muhlenberg's employer. And so what you have is a guy who's washing the truck on the private property, and he moves it. So he's operating the truck, but it's excluded in your policy, something like that.
Right.
Is that, yeah. We could add other examples, but so you would exclude on the premises, off the highway, washing the car.
Well, I have
that to. That would be okay.
I don't know, and I'm not evading the question. I think that this statute does require that policies be approved by the Department of Transportation.
Was yours?
Pardon?
Was yours?
Yes, it was.
What about the Department of Insurance?
The Department of Insurance, I believe, I'm not positive of how that works, but I know that the trucking regulations are different than automobile. There are two different, there's a commissioner of insurance that regulates the policies for automobiles in Wisconsin. For motor carriers, it's a whole different system. It's the Department of Transportation, and they approve the form of the policies. There are regulations that deal with the forms of trucking policies in the state of Wisconsin.
When you say form, does that include content? Does somebody really sit around there and read it and say, yeah, no?
I don't know how that works, Your Honor, but I do know that there are some requirements in the regulations that prescribe what you can and cannot do in motor carrier policies. This policy, there's no dispute, it was approved by the Department of Transportation. Now, whether some other factual situation might create problems, I don't know. It's difficult to speculate about that. But I don't think that this court has to be concerned about those things because what we have here is a relatively narrow set of facts, and this court's decision can be limited to the facts that we have, and that is that the omnibus. Plain terms, consistent with the case law that's already been issued where it hasn't applied to out-of-state policies.
With respect to that, what if this policy of insurance was issued in the state of Wisconsin? Do you concede then that the omnibus statute would cover it? Or are there any other reasons why it wouldn't?
No, I don't think we could dispute that. If it's issued and delivered here, then the omnibus statute would apply. I think there is an argument, however, that Chapter 194, the Motor Carrier Insurance Regulations, is the exclusive provision that governs motor carrier policies. But I'm not prepared to make that argument. It's not been, it's really not an issue here. But there is an argument to that effect. I mean, there is a totally different scheme applicable to motor carriers operating in the state of Wisconsin. The liability limits are different. They're much higher for trucks. The forms of the policies are different. They are regulated by different bodies within the state of Wisconsin. 194.41 is a specific statute governing the form and content of policies, and presumably, according to a common law of this state, a specific statute would govern over a general statute. The omnibus statute is in the motor carrier, or is in the automobile section of the statutes. There are arguments to be made, but I think if this policy was issued and delivered in Wisconsin, probably then it would be governed by the omnibus statute.
I have a question, Mr. Lane. Basically, what you're advocating is, in the position is that 194.41 doesn't incorporate the omnibus statute, and therefore it wouldn't invalidate this exclusion that you would put in your policy. And your opposing counsel has suggested to us, look, you've got to look at 194.41, you've got to look at 194.02, and together with negligent operation and liberal construction, you should be able to get to the omnibus insurance, which would cover. This is a fight between two insurance companies, and I was thinking that the public policy that I'm thinking of is, hey, what if you have a victim here, a third party, where there isn't any insurance? Now, could we, assuming that we would write this the way you would like us to, would it be also a consideration for us to say that omnibus coverage could be mandated in cases where no other insurance coverage was available for the victim? My sensitivity or concern is, look, if there wasn't a Frankenbuehler and there was some unusual situation as suggested by the Chief Justice and Justice Sykes, that it isn't good public policy to have people that aren't insured, that can't recover anything. And so my question goes to the public policy argument of your opposing counsel, because she seems to be saying, well, there's got to be coverage, and I understand that there should be, and we want to bring it in under the omnibus statute. You seem to be saying, well, that isn't covered under 194.41, but I'm just saying, public policy-wise, this court could say, well, if there isn't any other insurance, then you would fall under the omnibus statute.
Well, if you're saying that you would rule in our favor in this case...
Well, these are all hypotheticals, you understand, that we're throwing out there, but this is just... because it's the insurance and the victim getting hurt in a case there wasn't insurance. But here there is.
Right. Yes, and that's not this case. I would have no problem with that approach, I guess, certainly from an outcome determinative viewpoint. But I think you do have some theoretical problems justifying it for the reasons I've said. But I also think that if you have a case where there is no insurance for the injured party, that is the recipient of the goods, whose employee unloads the truck, has no insurance.
I'm just changing the facts. There is no Frankenmuth here. There isn't any insurance. There's just somebody that did this and caused injury to Mr. Muhlenberg.
Right. And if in that situation, if there is no other insurance, what would happen is, of course, the injured party would bring a suit against the recipient of the goods, in this case Kilgist, personally, against the corporation and against the employee, Mr. Wurchnick. They're not insured. People in Kilgist's position, if they know they're going to get sued because they don't have insurance, they're going to get insurance. I mean, that's why people buy insurance. They don't want to be sued individually. Corporations don't want to be sued. So from a public policy standpoint, if this court were to rule that there is no coverage in Great West for truckers, when they pull into someone else's lot, they're not going to cover the negligence of the employee who unloads it, then those employers are on notice that they better get insurance if they don't already have it, because there's not going to be coverage through the trucker.
Yeah, but that complicates the underwriting process, doesn't it? Just a little bit, because to fashion a rule that says these terms mean something different depending upon how many insurance policies are in play is something that would complicate the underwriting process, I would think.
Well,
it'd be good for neither of your clients, ultimately.
Well, I'm only speaking in terms of the public policy involved. I don't think that if the court were to rule in our favor, it would necessarily mean that injured parties are going to go uncompensated. Number one, we're only talking about cases where policies are issued or delivered outside the state of Wisconsin, where the omnibus statute doesn't apply. And secondly, my point is that that injured parties still have their claim against the corporations. It's not a horrible result that's going to leave many people uncompensated.
Sure, but we're supposed to be about construing the statutory language so that everybody can know what it means. And if we say it means one thing in a situation where there are multiple insurance policies, and it means another thing where there is only one, wouldn't give much direction or finality to the terminology in the statute, which is what we're being asked to do here, is to say what this means and what it does and doesn't include, or what it does and doesn't allow an insurance company to exclude. What would your interpretation, Mr. Mullaney, be of the language in 19441, operation of such motor vehicles? How should we construe that? Because that's really the first threshold argument that your opponent is making. She's saying that that includes loading and unloading pursuant to the 1958 Wiedenhaupt decision. Old but still good, apparently?
Well, I think Wiedenhaupt, again, begs the question about... it may say that unloading is included with an operation or use, but the question is, why can't we exclude that?
Logical standpoint, when you are hauling goods and it's a semi-trailer and you put the goods on the trailer and part of it is getting the goods to the place you want to deliver them, but you got to get the goods off. With an automobile, obviously, you unload the trunk, the back seat, but this is definitely, you're in the business of unloading and loading. I mean, that's the business of trucking, loading and unloading. You load up and you unload, and it happens
all.
Then you drive in between. But isn't that what they do?
Well, sure, and that's why Mr. Mullenberg, the operator of this truck, was covered for loading and unloading. He's insured. But we're not, Great West, it's the trucker, is not in the business of unloading and loading on every occasion. I mean, when they pull into Kilgus' yard and their employee steps up and starts unloading the truck, they're in the business of unloading that vehicle, and they have insurance for that. That's their business. And all we're saying is that when we do that, when we pull up and their employee unloads the truck, then they should insure for that.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, because in the facts it said Mullenberg was assisting. I mean, that's what the... I may be incorrect, but that's what I recall the facts saying, that Mullenberg, maybe that's not standard. Maybe they have a contract, union contract, that the truck driver should sit in the cab and not get involved in the unloading. But here, he was, according to the facts, it said he was assisting in this operation.
I'm not exactly sure what the facts say, but I know that he was standing alongside the truck when the pipes were unstrapped and they came and tumbled onto him.
Suppose that it had happened at the front end, that is at the loading end, that Mullenberg was injured. Would your insurance cover it?
If someone else was loading the vehicle?
With him.
With him? Well, if it's the negligence of the other person, then no. I mean, the person is excluded from the other person, the third party loader, would be excluded from the definition of insured. So, no, there wouldn't be coverage in that situation. I have to take a look at the
counsel.
Mr. Mullaney, I just want to follow, excuse me. I just want to say on page 3 of the blue brief, which is your opposing counsel's brief, it says, quote, this is the party stipulated to the following facts, and it says that Jeffrey Wershing was unloading the truck while Mr. Mullenberg was providing assistance, and that's part of the stipulated facts. So I just wanted to make sure that is the understanding.
I don't dispute it, Your Honor. I don't have the stipulated facts in front of me, but I don't know that it changes the analysis of the case, because it is undisputed that Mr. Wurchnig, the employee from Kilgist, is a negligent party. And the only issue is he covered under Great West policy?
And that's why we don't have a workers' comp issue here.
Correct, yes.
I just want to clean that up.
Thanks.
Well, you still would have a workers' comp issue for contractor, right? Wouldn't you? I mean, that, you haven't even touched upon that. I mean, there could be a workers' comp claim here.
I suppose so.
Excuse me, I ask a question?
Yes.
My time is up.
I know, but I have a question.
I just
got permission to ask.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Under 194.41, is loading and unloading contained within the definition of negligent operation?
I believe it is under Wisconsin law. I don't know that we can
deny that. Why doesn't this case boil down to this? Look, you've got a policy of insurance. One policy excludes coverage. One provision excludes coverage for third parties. Another provision says you're going to follow state law. Under 194.41, you would be covered for loading and unloading. So you've got two different provisions. How are we going to decide this? Well, maybe we decide by looking at 194.02, which says how we should construe a statute. What's wrong with that?
Because to say that the statute requires coverage for negligent operation of the vehicle doesn't preclude Great West from excluding certain persons from its definition.
Well, my point is this, counsel, that if the statute requires coverage for loading and unloading, and you have two policy provisions that seemingly are in conflict, one says if you're going to be in Wisconsin, you're going to follow Wisconsin law. Wisconsin law 194.41 requires coverage for loading and unloading. Another provision in your policy says, but we're not going to provide it for third parties. It's in conflict. How are we going to interpret it? Go to 194.02 for assistance. What's wrong with that?
Well, you're saying it's in the same policy, the two
provisions? Isn't that your policy? I thought your policy had two provisions. One was that you exclude coverage, another provision that your policy will incorporate the laws of the state. Am I wrong? Isn't there that second provision in there?
Yeah, we have the endorsement that requires that we comply with Wisconsin law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our view is that we did comply with Wisconsin law. The omnibus statute doesn't apply. Wisconsin law, all we are bound to comply with is section 194.41. We issued a policy by an insurer licensed to do business in this state covering vehicles and damages caused by reason of negligent operation.
Regardless of who's doing the operating, right?
Well, no, we limited that.
Well, what does the statute mean, though?
The statute says, well, I'll read it. The certificate or other contract shall provide that the insurer shall be directly liable to pay damages for injuries to or death of persons or for injuries or destruction of property that may be recovered against the owner or operator of any such motor vehicles by reason of the negligent operation thereof in such amount as the department may require. Now, in the absence of the omnibus statute, there is no reason why an insurer could not exclude certain persons from
Okay, I understand that you're talking about the interplay between your policy and this statute. Does this statute require you to issue a policy that covers the operation of the vehicle, regardless of who's doing the operating, while the vehicle is moving along the roadway?
While it's moving along the roadway.
Could you exclude that under this statute?
No.
Permissive use of somebody
we didn't.
In third party. I know you didn't, but could you under this statute, do you think?
The problem I have with the question is that I'd have to look at the regulations of truckers and the form of policies. I know that there are certain requirements in the regulations that truckers have to comply with.
Okay, setting that aside, though, just construing the statutory language, 194.41, and the requirements in this particular part of the statutory scheme, you're required to issue a policy that covers negligent operation of the vehicle.
Yes.
Could you say as Weiss drives, you're not covered? You're not covering him.
Right. Right. Or right.
Or as Kid drives.
Could you exclude that legitimately under this policy?
I don't think so.
If not, why can you legitimately exclude another form of operation which you concede exists under Wisconsin law, specifically this Wiedenhaupt case? If you can,
because the only reason that we couldn't exclude it is the omnibus statute. I know that maybe that seems like an unsatisfactory answer, but there's no reason why an insurance company can't sit down across the table from its insured and say that we're going to cover you for negligent operation, and we're going to cover permissive users of your vehicle on the highways, but we're not going to cover.
Well, I understand that as a contract matter and as a benefit of the bargain matter, but as a matter of construction of this statute, if all that it says is that you must issue a policy that covers negligent operation, and negligent operation consists of a whole variety of things, and you've conceded it also consists of loading and unloading, then how is it that you're permitted to exclude one form of operation and not permitted to exclude another form of operation when we're looking at just this, the construction of this statute?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that we're talking about the universe of insureds here, the definition of an insured. And at some point, insurance companies are permitted to say who they'll cover and who they will not. The Kroski decision, well, I guess that's not relevant to this case, but to this issue. But our view is that there's no reason why an insurance company under this section cannot say that it will not cover certain persons for while they unload the vehicle. The public policy of this state does not require that we have to cover that.
But it would require that you cover permissive users or third parties who are actually driving the vehicle. So your ultimate argument on this point is that the public policy considerations are different?
I think so. I think that's part of it, yes, because we don't control who unloads our vehicle or if they're trained or if they're supervised. If someone is driving the vehicle with our permission, then we do have some control over that, and that makes more sense from a public policy standpoint that we provide coverage for that.
But you don't have any more control over if someone else drives. That is, and that covers it. You'd be covering that, right? Talking about the actual, you're talking about the unloading, but you would be covering if someone else drove, as suggested, the wife or someone underage or something like that.
I'm sorry, you're asking if we would cover?
Would you be covering or not covering? You would not be covering.
I have to look at the policy. Our view is that the public policy of this state does not require that we cover everybody that unloads this truck. Now, whether we have to cover in every other situation that can be conceived of, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I guess, do you cover everyone that drives the truck? It's different to everyone that unloads the truck. That would be my question.
Yes, I mean, I don't think they're excluded
right.
from the policy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Thank you, counsel. There are no further questions. Ms. Tinwald, you have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you. I think that the gist of the reason why the omnibus statute should be deemed to apply is just the discussion we had. He says there's no reason we can't limit it. Why can't we exclude some people from loading and unloading? Well, if that's the case, then why can't they exclude reckless drivers or intoxicated drivers? Nothing in 19441 expressly says that those drivers have to be included. But the omnibus statute says that those kind of drivers must be covered, and I think that's why the spirit of 19441, when combined with the liberal construction required by 19402, requires that this court hold out-of-state insurance companies to the same standards that Wisconsin trucking companies have got to be held to, 63232's standards with regard to who's covered and who's not under the policy. 63232 either applies or it doesn't. It doesn't matter if there's insurance on the driver or the operator. It doesn't matter if the person's driving recklessly or is driving safe or is not intoxicated or whatever. It either applies or it doesn't. It doesn't matter on the difference in the facts in the case. It either applies or it doesn't, and it would be my contention that the public policy as enunciated by the legislature in 19402 requires you to deem it to apply here. Mr. Mullaney started off his argument by saying the legislature sets the public policy, not the court. However, the court is the one who interprets the application of the public policy to the facts, and the legislature has given you direction in how to do it, and it says be liberal here. Be liberal in reaching a safe and competitive trucking industry. And the only way to do that is to adopt the position that I've argued. Mr. Mullaney says, I don't know why the legislature would not make out-of-state truckers comply with the same requirements as the in-state truckers, and I don't know why that they would be making the Wisconsin truckers less competitive. The legislature didn't intend that. In 19402, they say that you're supposed to construe this so that Wisconsin truckers will be competitive. And that's to require all insurers to conform to the same standard. I agree with the discussion that says 19441 on its own operation includes loading and unloading. There's nothing that says that you can exclude anyone from that. And so I think on 19441's own terms, in combination with 19402, this court can say that loading and unloading coverage is required, and there's nothing that allows that to be precluded from coverage here.
The Wiedenhaupt case that you based that argument upon, which specifically says that just exactly what you just said,
right.
Was that court, and it's an old case, was that court construing the predecessor to this statutory scheme or something else?
Something else. It was, I think, more along the lines of a direct action statute that allowed an insurer to be sued directly for negligent operation of a vehicle, and the court said operation has to be liberally construed in this circumstance. And when it's liberally construed, operation includes more than just loading, or more than just operation on the highways. And that's the result here.
Is there any difference or distinction between the two different contexts that we're operating under here?
I didn't see any.
Should there be?
I didn't see any, and I don't think there should be, because, again, 19402 tells you you're supposed to liberally construe 19441 to achieve a safe and competitive trucking industry. So you're directly required to liberally construe 19441, and therefore Wiedenhaupt instructs you exactly how to construe it. I think Mr. Mullaney says, well, the legislature could have said 63232 applies to all policies for all drivers in this state. I don't think that our legislature can constitutionally mandate what other states' insurance requirements should be. So I think that's why our legislature didn't say 63232 applies to policies outside our state. Why didn't our legislature say 19441 incorporates the omnibus statute directly? I'm not sure, but I imagine they just didn't think of it. But they told you to liberally construe 19441 in order to achieve a safe and competitive trucking industry. And I think if you're liberally construing that statute, you have to make Wisconsin truckers and out-of-state truckers and their insurance companies be on equal footing.
Could I ask a question? I want to make sure I understand it. Suppose the driver of the truck who was injured, if we change the facts, the driver had gone away and
across the street eating lunch. The employee of the building is solely involved in unloading the truck. And through his negligence, he's injured. Is your position that the Great West still is liable?
Right, because he is, quote, operating the vehicle, and that is the touchstone of coverage, and the touchstone of what coverage is required on 19441. Who is operating? In the Amory case, where there was a fire during the unloading process, the court said, well, that's not covered under the auto policy because it wasn't some negligence in the operation of the vehicle or the unloading process. The problem was that the premises were unsafe. That's not covered by the auto policy. That's a different thing. But what the touchstone of coverage is the operation of the vehicle, and loading is part of the operation. He is.
Well, that's your position. But why would they say he's not covered by the policy?
I don't think they've taken the position that Mr. Muhlenberg isn't covered by the policy. They're saying Kilgus and its employees aren't covered because their loading and unloading was excluded. But if Muhlenberg himself were unloading the truck, then we'd cover that. But it wasn't his negligence that injured himself, was the thesis. It was Kilgust's alleged negligence that injured Muhlenberg. And so the only question is Kilgust and its employees covered?
Under your policy.
Under his policy. They're clearly covered under ours. There's no disputing that. We're saying insurance follows the car, so he's first. Thank you for your attention.
That ends our hearing. Now, we are supposed to have some students for... They're not here. Okay. That I'll...